through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Hour number two of Tom, Jake, and Stacy on this XFL Monday. First time we've ever said that. We're taking your calls, 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. Your impressions of the XFL, what'd you like about it, not like about it? Do you think you'll keep watching? All these questions that we're batting around right now. Gene in Linwood gets us started. What's up, Gene? How you doing?
Good.
What do you got?
Well, I always go through kind of this depression cycle after the NFL stops. I love football, period. I love the style of play of the XFL. Now, I'm going to be honest. I did schedule my Saturday around the Dragons game, and I stuck with it thinking they'd make a comeback. Oh, well, they didn't. Sunday, I watched the Tampa Bay game, and I have to be honest. At one point, I went, okay, that's enough. Maybe there's a good Hallmark movie on. Because they weren't playing good football.
And that's what matters, and thanks for the call, Gene. Yeah, I mean, that first week, especially if it's the team that's playing in your city, you want to see how good your own team is.
Yeah.
If you're going to think about going to some of these games, you know, if it's not a good product, you're not going to pay money to go see it.
I agree with Gene that the Saturday games were just better overall than the Sunday games.
Alex is in Federal Way. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, guys. I thought overall it was a big success. I enjoyed watching specifically the Seattle team because it's in our city, and I think that was one of the main problems I had with the AAF is I really couldn't relate to a specific team. So I see myself enjoying it more just for that reason alone. And I also think I saw a better product because I recognized some more of the players' names. And I thought overall some of the rule changes were really good, such as the kickoff rule I really liked. And I also just, I just really enjoyed the atmosphere, really.
Yeah, the atmosphere, the crowd seemed pretty jacked up. I mean, what they have, about 17,000, 20,000 at each of these games. It looks better. The stadium that the Seattle Dragons played in against the D.C. Defenders, was that a soccer stadium?
It was a soccer stadium,
because it looked a heck of a lot better in that size stadium. You have to give them that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I thought the environment was really cool. It felt big. Even though it's not a big, you know, traditional football stadium, I thought it was a really cool, you know, place to play for that style of game, and definitely to start out. No question.
Zach is in Bonnie Lake. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going terrific.
Hey, so, yeah, I mean, for me and, you know, my friends, we grew up playing football and loved watching it, but the thing that's tough these days is with the NFL, they've taken so much of the physicality out of the game that it's hard to watch a lot of times. It's frustrating, and so that was the biggest thing I think I was excited for and what we enjoyed watching. We kept talking about, you know, the quarterbacks getting hit, and you didn't see any flags, and you know, big hits on the sideline. You didn't see any flags. And I think that was the thing that we enjoyed. And there's so many good takeaways from the XFL as far as eventually turning into a farm league. But for us, it was just being able to watch football when the NFL's over and it being good physical football where guys are still being able to hit each other.
Thanks for the call, Zach. You know what? I'm not sure that will continue that way.
You know, I do know that as they talked about it, that there were some obvious, you know, they described them in different categories of rules, and there were some no-brainer rules and things like that. And the kickoff is one of those where it is the most injury-plagued play in football. And so they're trying to approach this and try and handle it in a smarter way. But overall, I think, you know, what Zach said, I concur. I watched a more physical brand of football and a lot of, you know, hits that I saw that would have been flags in the NFL, and they're not dirty hits. They're just physical hits that you know, the NFL has really tried hard to keep out of it. And I think that's one thing that the XFL is going for a little bit, is that they're not going to make it an unsafe league, but they are going to keep some of that, you know, major physicality, big hits in the game, at least to start out with, to keep that, you know, for fans like Zach intrigued.
Yeah, but I mean, if they started finding out that they had higher concussion numbers than the NFL because they let them be more physical, they would do away. They'd do away with that almost immediately.
Well, potentially, maybe not. I mean, you're at the point where, look, you know what you're signing up for. It's football, and this is how our league approaches it. And there are you understand what you're getting yourself into. And so I think that that's the part you got to remember. The NFL, when all this concussion stuff came out, it wasn't the fact that players were getting concussions. It was the NFL withholding the information of what the details were and the effects of those concussions had. That was what the big uproar was about from NFL players. They didn't mind the physicality part as they were playing, and as things have gone on, I think they've been smarter about it. But if you know going into it that this is what the league is all about, this is how it is, I don't know if you're going to hear a lot of players, you know, necessarily keep themselves away from it because these are guys that want to keep holding on to the dream and want to keep playing.
I guess so. Jason's in Mukilteo. Go ahead, Jason.
Hi. So what I really enjoyed about it was, I mean, first of all, it gave us a meme of Brock Heward that's going to live forever. And that's kind of what I'm getting at, though, like the unpredictability of it all. I was loosely paying attention in the end, towards the end of the one of the games this weekend, and it seemed like neither the coach nor like the players had really any idea how the 2-minute drill worked, and they were all confused about it. And I kind of enjoyed that. I know it's not going to stick around, but just, and you know, hearing players cuss on the sidelines, I know it's not a great thing, but it just has that kind of X factor to it that makes it really interesting.
Well, I'll give it this. The XFL right now is a game and nothing more. It doesn't have any of the added sort of storylines, the, you know, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, things that we follow because we know those personalities.
Stars.
It doesn't have stars. It doesn't have storylines. At this point, it is just a game. So if you're that kind of football fan who is watching just for like a glorified version of Madden, I guess, right?
It's just a bit more experimental.
Right.
With stuff.
Yeah, then this league is definitely for you. Again, I'm having a really hard time connecting with it because I don't know many of the players except as cast-offs from other professional teams, and I remember a handful of them from college, things like that. But I don't know the logos. I don't know the team colors. I don't know the players. The interviews, like Diana Rossini running back and forth from sideline to end zone, by the way, give her credit for doing that. She worked as hard as any football player on that field. But I'm not sure I need that kind of access. Like, was it good access or was it too much access? I guess that type of thing we'll find out as we go. But I was a little overwhelmed by it. It felt like there was just a lot of interviews and a lot of chatter on the broadcast. But again, hopefully they'll figure all that out.
I thought that last caller inadvertently said it right. I was loosely paying attention to the end of one of the games. I don't know who was playing. I was kind of paying attention. But, boy, I was glad to have football on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, look, the XFL in this, like you're talking about all these things, Tom, this is the hard part about starting a new league.
Yeah.
And you're having to try and win people over, right? And they're experimenting. They're trying to figure out, you know, the rules that they have and the players, as Jason said, players and coaches still are trying to figure out through it all. The broadcasts are trying to figure out how to put out the best product out on the broadcast in the field, and it's going to take some time. But hopefully, there was enough for people to be able to latch onto and enjoy it. And as you said, Kyle, whether you're totally into it and you're a diehard XFL fan after week one, or you're loosely excited to watch it and have it on your television, I think that those are all positive things for the XFL because at least they're, you know, gaining your attention enough to hopefully over the next couple of weeks they can really show the product continuing to get better.
I'm a diehard fan. I'm clutching this XFL
magnet
in my hand.
You've been a lifelong Dragons fan.
See this magnet I've got in my hand? I've had it in my hand
Don't
all
put
show
next
long.
Next to your computer.
What?
Don't put it next to your computer.
Why? What's going to happen?
You'll demagnetize the mainframe.
But it's been
The motherboard will be fried.
That's the monitor. That's fine.
Yeah, it's been sitting here for like 7 months.
Okay.
Dan's down in JBLM. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
Living the dream, hiding from my boss. Can't be any better. I've been, I guess you could call it good fortune to travel around the world and see how big soccer or football is everywhere on the globe. With the exception of here, it's growing because of the MLS, but for the most part, soccer's huge everywhere. And there are hundreds of associations, hundreds of professional series all around the globe for soccer. The 300-pound gorilla of sports in North America is American football. We have one, the NFL, and a bunch of almost. Canadian football's different. Arena football was different. The XFL has a chance to be another good American football league. Yeah, some of the rules are different, mostly for safety. But for the most part, it's another chance to watch football. And I think it's a great thing. I see players on there that are almost good enough to be in the NFL. And maybe if the NFL was played more like it was played in the 70s and 80s, maybe they'd be in the NFL. But it's a different league now. So this is a chance to see real football year-round. I'm good with it. I hope they can get bigger.
Yeah, maybe thanks.
32 teams.
Thanks for the call, Dan. We appreciate it. You know, he talks about soccer being played, and there's all these leagues around the world. The game of football might only be able to be played by the guys who are in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, the quality of a soccer match. I mean, you can assemble, 22 athletic guys and put them on a soccer field and have them kick a ball around. With all due respect to soccer fans, you can't just assemble any group of guys and have them get on a football field and have a quality game of NFL level football.
Well,
you just can't do it.
I don't know if I would agree with that statement, because he's talking about professional soccer leagues, and for soccer fans to buy tickets and go to the venues, they got to be worth watching, right? Like, they got to be worth watching out there, if you're going to invest your time and money into going and watching those players. And with what Dan said, I mean, I agree that there is only one league in the NFL, and there are players. This is the unique opportunity. Can you get past the fact that these players are not as good as the NFL?
Like, I don't know that you can. Let me answer that question right now. I don't think you can. I think you can watch soccer even if Lionel Messi's not involved. I don't know that you can watch an NFL game unless, especially at quarterback, you have top-level play all around.
But if all the play is the same, it's not like you threw Russell Wilson out there with a bunch of practice squad guys. It's guys that are all, first of all, the guys that make a practice squad are still among the best guys from their college teams and were undoubtedly the best guys from their high school teams. These are still elite level athletes. It's just that it is so hard to make an NFL roster, and every single year there are thousands of guys who were good enough to get the NFL that weren't good enough to make a 53-man roster, and rather than maybe bounce around from practice squad to practice squad, now they have another alternative to go play in the XFL. The thing is that all those guys are at that level. So you're watching, essentially, it's not like a rec league with your friends. It's guys that were the best guys from their college teams that were just kind of on the bubble of NFL rosters.
For everybody except the quarterback position, I have no issue with that.
It's also an opportunity for quarterbacks to continue to get better and continue to develop. And I think that there is going to be some fun factor to watching that. Now, can Brandon Silvers turn into a guy that one day plays in the NFL? Maybe. But ultimately, I do think that as you get more of these quarterbacks that are staying in the league and aren't bouncing around from one league to the next, like the CFL, for example, there are good quality quarterbacks that are playing well at the CFL level that now will probably be playing at the XFL level, and they make an XFL career instead of going and trying to bounce up to the NFL. So I do think that this is going to be something, as you watch, you know what you're getting yourself into. It's about whether the quality of play, not necessarily the superstars, but overall, is it a quality game and is it fun and exciting and different enough that keeps your intrigue? And I think that the XFL's got a great opportunity.
Let's go, Andy in Bonnie Lake. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I wasn't impressed really at all. I think, I'm ready for a break. I think this first week, you get a home game. You get the next week, you get a home game. There'll be some more buzz. But, you know, this isn't the NFL. And everyone that says that it should be or it's a farm league, you know, no one's going to go there to get hurt. You mean you got people not even playing in bowl games because they want to make sure they get paid? I wish the XFL turned into something like more of a fun league. Like, I didn't see a single double pass. That's in a rule. I think that's a rule in there where you can throw it behind the scrimmage and throw the ball. I wish Zorn would, you know, pipe up and do something exciting and new. I'm hoping it does it as a home game, but I really wasn't impressed. I think this is going to fizzle out just like the other XFL did.
And Andy, I think that those are good points. Those are interesting points in the sense that you're right, that there is some part of it that is, it has to be a little bit different. There has to be that fun factor. That's why there's so much access and they're experimenting with that. The other interesting thing is you've got these, you talk about Jim Zorn, you talk about all these coaches. These are legit football coaches in the standpoint of they've played the game a certain way. And so to look at it and to pull out all these trick plays and all that, that goes against their very nature of what they know football to be. And so it tests them and it stretches them a little bit too. When we talk about, you know, Jim Zorn at the press conference, you know, saying how there was this interesting conversation and dilemma. Do we, in a normal situation, we're down two scores, but in the XFL, you can score, go for 3 points, and then you're only down a field goal. So there's different aspects that they're all working through. So that part of it, I think, will continue to get better, but you also have to understand that, you know, for these players in particular, there are certain players that are good enough to get back in the NFL. The reality is most of them aren't. But there is good enough quality talent to be able to put on a fun, interesting product to watch. And I think that that's going to be fun as a fan as you get into year two, year three of guys that stay around, stick around, instead of bouncing all over the place.
Kevin is in Auburn. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I want to say I really enjoyed it. I had a couple of things. I know that we were missing our left tackle, Isaiah Battle. Also, no Cason Williams. And I wanted to ask Jake about what he thought about Silver's performance. I was kind of hoping that they would have put B.J. Daniels in there. Maybe they're going to go with him. Looked like he was staring down his receivers, and he made some bad choices and underthrew a lot of balls. But I'll leave my question up there.
Yes. First of all, I got to say, starting with, I know we're missing our left tackle. I was like already diehard Dragons fan right now.
I know.
Yeah. Missing the weird.
I was like, wait, is he talking Seahawks or is he
talking
Dragons?
I did for a minute too. No, ride or die.
Kevin's all in.
Man, yeah. That's awesome.
And that was kind of a bummer for me too. I was very much looking forward to seeing, you know, my former teammate out there, Cason Williams, and excited to watch him play. But yeah, you're right. There were two guys that were injured, their left tackle and one of their star receivers. And both of those guys, I know, I think will be healthy enough for their home opener in week two. But in terms of Brandon Silver's performance, I think that you look at it and you chalk it up to two things. Is one, it's really hard in this situation, week one, for everybody to be on the same page, for everybody to be comfortable, and to have the live bullets going at you for the first time. There's a lot of things to work through. I thought Brandon Silvers did a pretty good job. You got to remember, he threw two touchdowns in the game. There were other opportunities that he missed and threw two interceptions. One, a guy slipped. So in this situation, I'm not ready to say after week one that Brandon Silvers can't get it done. I think you have to let him grow over the next couple weeks to really have a determination of if he can play winning football.
We're late, but we're still in four down territory.
This is four down territory
with Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
All right, back over to the NFL. Are we going to have to specify what league we're talking about
yes.
every time we have a football discussion?
Yeah.
We're talking XFL offensive lines. All right, who is your NFL top five quarterbacks based off the 2019 season?
Based off the 2019 season, it's pretty straightforward for me, honestly. I think number one, it's Russell Wilson. The reason why Russell Wilson's number one in mine, to me, it could be one or two between Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. I think you can make the argument either way. The reason why Russell is number one for me is because he did a lot more with less, in my opinion. He had to be in tight situations constantly, really, you know, put the team on his back this year and just didn't have as much weapons or you know, the same situation as Mahomes had. Now, to Mahomes, to me, this guy is a superstar. He's a special talent, and he's going to be fun to watch for years and years to come. Obviously, winning the Super Bowl and being a Super Bowl MVP. Now, he's going to be in a situation where after he gets this huge contract, they're going to have to make more sacrifices along the way. And, you know, can he continue to put his team on his back like he has been these first two seasons will be interesting to watch. You know, Russell having 8 seasons of really playing high-level football, I think that he, you know, you look at that 1 and 2 and they can go either way. For me, number 3, it came down to this question. It was between Drew Brees and Lamar Jackson for 3 and 4. And the one question I asked myself is, who do I want or who do I feel more confident in when the game is on the line and you need a comeback in 2-minute situation? To me, that guy is still Drew Brees. He is still surgical. He's still, playing at a high level. And so with that question, I put Drew Brees at 3. You can, and then Lamar Jackson is 4. So Lamar was unbelievable this year in 2019. It was an incredible, incredible player. But overall, you look at it and say, in those situations, very rare, but when he was down, he did not have his best performances. And then number 5 to me was Deshaun Watson. So there's the other couple guys that were really big that leave off that list. But to me, those 5, without question, were the top 5 quarterbacks in 2019.
Second down. Stacey, what can the NFL learn from the XFL?
Back to the XFL. The 360 texted in, let Silvers cook. Let Silvers cook! Let Silvers cook!
PJ Daniels cook.
There were a couple rules that I really liked. I like the new kickoff rule. I think that it makes it de-incentivizes touchbacks, and it also just, I think, makes it more safe. I don't think the NFL is going to quickly adopt any of these rules, but that was one that I really liked. Another one I really liked was the transparency that they had with their reviews. So right here is a quick clip from someone reviewing a play in a game between Tampa Bay and New York.
Stop the game, stop the game, stop the game.
It's under further review.
It's a completed catch and a fumble.
Okay.
Is that your ruling? Is that the ruling on the field?
The ruling on the field is a completed catch, fumbled by the receivers. New York picked up the fumble, recovered in advance. First down, New York.
Okay. We have a good view here. When he landed on the ground, he only had 1 foot down. The ball was jarred loose, so it's going to be an incomplete pass. We're going to change it to an incomplete pass.
I just think this would be such a fascinating addition to the NFL. I still remember in week 16 of the regular season this past year when there was a non-call on what looked like defensive pass interference against tight end Jacob Hollister in the end zone. We had to send a pool reporter from the media room over to talk with Al Riveron, and we got this big, long statement back. I don't know if you guys remember. I had to take a picture and send it to you guys. We were all debating in our text thread together, and it was just this huge ordeal to try to just get feedback on what they saw, and then of course no one agreed with it. And I think that the more transparent you can make these reviews, even if people don't agree with it, being able to see the process of that judge kind of overlooking everything would be fascinating.
They're down. You have 20 seconds, Jake. Ready?
I got this.
Do you think the XFL has enough talent to keep the attention of the Week 1 viewers?
I do. I think they have enough talent, but overall they have to continue to clean up the play. It was sloppy at different points, and I think that that's expected in Week 1. There was enough intrigue by the rules and everything else to keep everybody back for Week 2. It's going to be fun to see how the viewership continues to go throughout the rest of the season.
Fourth down.
Oh, just you wait.
What's your confidence level that Greg Olsen will be signing with the Seahawks at the end of the week?
Ian Rappaport put out a tweet that said Greg Olsen is visiting the Redskins today. He visited the Bills over last week, and then his last visit is with the Seahawks Wednesday, and will be making a decision at the end of the week. To me, out of those three teams, if you're talking about playing with the best talent, playing with a Super Bowl contender, the Seahawks are without question that team. So my confidence level that Greg Olsen says that he wants to play with the Seahawks is very, very high when you consider who do you want to be a Super Bowl, who do you want to play with the best chance to go to a Super Bowl? That would be the Seahawks without question.
Woo! All right, we'll come back to Greg Olsen next, but we've got 3 words for you in the halftime show. Pitchers and catchers. 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time for the halftime show.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The halftime show, it's not easy.
Now, here's Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Pitchers and catchers.
Then what?
Spring training.
Oh, okay.
Pitchers and catchers report. I should say Mariners pitchers and catchers report on Wednesday. baseball season is finally rolling around. We are, of course, excited for that. You know, as I go through and I sort of scan which players we're actually going to have on the opening day roster, which players, which areas they still need to make a few acquisitions. I said this before. If they can assemble a half-decent bullpen, and I mean like just half-decent, nothing that's anywhere close to dominant, just something that is, you know, that you kind of luck into, this team could win close to 80 games. They could. And if that's the case, that's going to represent a huge, huge step up for the organization. And look, by July, if they're right around 500, who knows? Jerry DePoto might actually be a buyer. This season could go not only well, but a lot better than most people think.
Really?
Yeah.
You really think that?
I'm not used to you being the most optimistic.
Well, I got to be positive about something.
You're right. You're right.
Well, it could be in the sense that you've got all these young guys and it's completely unknown, right? And the difference is last year when you had this crazy run and everybody was trying to figure out, like, we know this isn't right. This doesn't look right, but they're winning. And what do we make of this? But eventually it was all going to come downhill, and a big part of that had to do with the fact that they were going to trade everybody anyways, right? It'll be interesting to see how these young guys will respond and how long, if they could play well, how long they could keep it up. But I just really, I don't know if I have the same optimism
as
Tom does.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I, like everyone else, saw the Mookie Betts trade, and you think, like, oh, I can't wait to see, like, a big move like that if Seattle makes it. But I also think this year is going to be one of development. Even halfway through the year, I think that what you're looking at is, when do some of these younger guys keep coming in here? Are you going to see Kelnick in the second half? Are you going to see,
yes,
you know, any of these other guys? I mean, the assumption is that yes, but I think that that's more of what the story is going to be rather than are they going to make a big move. Even though I think that, like everyone else, you see those big trades happen and you think, ooh.
Jerry DePoto is an aggressive general manager.
He is.
And by the way, I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs. I'm saying that they could come in at the end of the season right around 500. And if that's the case, they could be right around 500 at the trade deadline. Who knows? Sometimes you make moves for the future, not just right now. Not everybody who buys or trades for a pitcher at the trade deadline is making it for this year's playoff run. I remember a couple of years ago, the Texas Rangers traded with the Phillies for Cole Hamels, and that was a next-year type move. If that's when these guys are available and Jerry DePoto identifies them, then that's fine. If everything's falling apart and none of the young players are showing any promise whatsoever, then it probably won't be the time. But if you can put together, again, a half-decent bullpen, there's no reason why they can't finish right around 78, 79 wins.
Yeah,
they finished with 68 last year. You're only asking for 10 more wins.
Yeah, it's true. I guess when you're starting to make some of those moves, I guess it makes sense from a standpoint that you're continuing to build. I guess I see this team being more 2 years out than I do see them being, you know, right there in 2021. You know, starting to compete for the division again. I continue to see this as an ever developing process where in maybe in 2 years they really start getting aggressive. But I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that, you know, they're right around that level that you're talking about, Tom, and these young guys are really showing and proving that they can be difference makers right away.
Is it that you guys don't think that the young players are going to be difference makers, or that
I think it's too soon.
If they play well, though.
Yeah. I think that the guys, I'm very, very intrigued to see, most especially Julio Rodriguez. He might be the furthest out, though. So I think it's just going to take time.
There's plenty of guys. We've got plenty of time also.
Yeah. But I mean, guys like Evan White are going to presumably start right away. So
exactly.
I get it.
And he doesn't have to hit, you know, 10 home runs in the month of April.
But what if he does, Tom?
But what if he does? What if the XFL? Never mind. All right, next. The Cougs. The Cougs.
Go on.
The Coug basketball team beat the Huskies 79-67 in Pullman. Now I have two questions
you
here.
You really do hate to see it.
This season for the Huskies couldn't have gone any worse, because now it feels like they've quit on their coach. That's a problem.
I'm upset.
Second question. Are the Cougs, like, trending way up now?
Kyle Smith, head coach of the Cougs, for the uninitiated, said yesterday that they've already received an invitation to what? The CBI.
Whoa.
So, yeah, things. I mean, we're talking postseason play in Pullman.
There we go.
Glaring.
I mean, been talking about that since, you know, like 2012.
Yeah, and that's.
You know what, Kyle?
You know what, Stacey?
Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you.
I appreciate that.
Honestly, it is awesome to see that for Coug basketball, but I also see it on the flip side for Husky basketball and just say, how can you fall this far from grace? How can you go from 2 years of, you know, pretty good basketball? Your coach is the Pac-12 coach of the year, and then all of a sudden, this is the year where you fall off the face of the map, and it is players that you recruited as Mike Hopkins. Like, that part of it to me is absolutely amazing. I just is very confusing to figure out exactly what is going on within that program. But yeah, Kyle, we joke about it, but I think that very much so for Coug basketball. And for Coach Kyle Smith, that is something incredibly exciting to see that their program is on the rise. And then that style of basketball, that they can actually win probably a lot of games once they start really establishing themselves and finding the right talent to fit his style of play.
Will the Huskies get an invite to the CBI?
I don't want to talk about it.
Not looking good right now.
Nah,
they
probably
dropped
not.
To 500, I think,
they're,
yesterday.
Yeah, they're 12-12, 2-9.
It is a fascinating season, though, because you had two stellar coaching years, and then now you wonder, like, okay, well, pressure's obviously on for next year, but it's too early to do much of anything with Hopkins because he's been so great. So then you start to wonder, like, well, what's your 4 or 5 look like?
I think he just gets a do-over. I mean,
you get a little bit of a mulligan with this one? Because
I guess.
I think that your start buys you a little bit of time, but you haven't been so tenured a coach that you get, you know, 5 years of running a program into the ground. But I think there certainly needs to be just a little bit of patience to see what next year brings.
By year 4, though, it'll be entirely his program.
Well, he that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
won't have
any more guys
left exactly.
over. So it's all on him next year.
Yeah.
That's a warning from
Curtis. From
Curtis. Wow.
You heard a very sternly issued
warning. I gave a warning to Husky fans before this whole thing fell apart. After the UCLA game, I said they weren't a tournament team. And now, look at them. They're terrible.
You know what?
They stink!
I have nothing to say to this. Nothing to add.
Curtis, do Husky fans give you a lot of guff?
No.
Do they really?
No.
Yeah, because they look at Arizona as a team that, you know, may not have gotten to where they are by the best way, the best means.
Uh-huh.
I'm putting this Husky,
prove it.
Husky basketball season in the same vein as the Husky football season, which
yeah,
is like,
I'm saying prove it.
Wait till next year. You think this year's bad? Wait till next year.
Curtis. Yikes. And Curtis has checked that.
And that has been checked.
Curtis, nobody's going to forget that Arizona owns this conference. Okay, like,
and they shouldn't.
No, they won't. I'm just telling you. Like, we know that the Arizona Wildcats own the basketball end of this conference, so you don't have to, like, you know.
Yeah, Curtis.
Okay.
It's unnecessary.
Keep sending jabs, but he will.
Look, I thought the Husky. I don't know if they were a tournament team or not. I thought they'd be better than 2-9 in this conference.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I think everyone did.
I mean, God, 3 more wins and we probably wouldn't even be talking
about
it.
It's baffling.
Yeah. The XFL opened up this weekend, I think, to, God, I was going to say rave reviews like it was a movie at the box office. I'll just say positive reviews.
I think positive
overall. Positive reviews. I think people, for the most part, accepted the gimmicky aspect of it, whether it be the coach sending in the play to the quarterback, being able to hear the officials walk you through what's being talked about on the review plays.
I think
the
it's
kickoff.
Good. Yeah, I think it's good that the XFL's revamped year has come at a time when not only is it right after the end of the NFL season, but when Twitter exists. I think social media has added a different layer to the way that people embrace the XFL.
Yeah.
Like, there were jokes of, like, oh, we have a sickness from football fans being like, all right, forget my families and friends. I'm ready to get back into this thing. But I think also it allows for a very open conversation about some of the big differences between the XFL and the NFL. And a lot of those are very controversial rules and problems that people have with the NFL, like review and, you know, kickoff stuff or, you know, what they feel is not enough kind of bold moves, and, you know, whether it's boring point after touchdowns and all of that stuff that people kind of complain about with the NFL. There's now not only a league that's trying to change it, but a venue on Twitter to talk about it.
I think it's great that the XFL is trying all these different things, but things like extra points, I don't understand the NFL fans' obsession with trying to make extra points more exciting.
I think it's for a viewer. I think it's strictly like a viewer kind of intrigue.
But why? Why does it?
It seems like it's more strategizing. It's like, okay, well, you can be down by three, but then you can go for the 3 points after a touchdown rather than one. And, you know, I think it's just another layer for people to feel like they can strategize or get back into a game.
I fully agree and understand where people are coming from that, but I also think it's just greedy.
It's so stupid.
Well, it is. I mean, I don't care, but I'm saying that there is...
Of course, of course. Okay,
You need NFL games to be more intriguing than they already are. You're right. Greedy is the perfect word. You've already got this unbelievable product that delivers you something great every single Sunday. In fact, year-round. But the extra points.
Well.
But Tom, the extra point. Okay.
I
don't know if I've heard that much outrage about it, but I know that some people will bring that up every time.
Well, I think people, there is a realm of Twitter that feels like coaches maybe aren't bold enough and that the extra points kind of are a victim to boring football.
Do you guys see that picture of Russell Wilson's hair?
Yes.
We're going to try to do this on radio next, but it needs to be discussed. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
There was a picture of Russell Wilson going around Twitter this weekend that I think, Stacey, you agreed with me this morning that when we first saw it, we were convinced that it had to have been photoshopped or something. Because it wasn't somebody else.
No, it wasn't me.
Okay.
It was me.
It was you?
Someone showed
People
me.
People often get us confused.
Someone showed me a picture of it, and I was like, oh, that's got to be photoshopped, right? Like, that's not real. His hair wasn't straight. Like,
yeah, Sierra put this out
no way.
On Twitter. 2 days ago, and I gotta say, I like styling Russell.
I think it's a good look.
I think I like styling Russell more than football Russell, where it's just, you know, shaved head and or his little, you know, curly thing that he normally has.
Yeah, his curls. Yeah,
like he's looking good these days.
You like the straight hair Russell, huh?
Well, what's he trying to get into? Is he trying to become a model?
I think it's just stylish. It looked like they were at a Tom Ford show, and
yeah, what's that?
A designer.
Designer, yeah, right.
Yeah.
try some new and different things.
I think it was just a new look.
Yeah, I'm
fine with it. I'm not mad at it.
That's my guy, and I hope it's a one-time, you know, Tom Ford model situation, and it's not a new look.
Do you think that if he takes his helmet off on the sidelines at practice, all of his teammates are going to be like, dude,
John Stamos.
He does look like Stamos.
Wow, it's Uncle Jesse. Where are the twins?
Him and Luke Wilson will have the long straight hair.
The flow.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that this is going to be a normal thing. I don't think so.
You never know.
Why are you being so critical of Russell's hair?
I'm not. I'm just saying
You're not embracing it, though.
It's unique and different. It took me back. That's all I'll say.
How did he get his hair to grow that long that fast? We just talked to him like 2 months ago.
Oh, it is long. We asked him about the hair that day. When he's got it in, you know, his normal hair, it curls.
It's just so when it uncurls, it ends up looking
exactly when you
like actual long. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, there were mixed reviews here. I mean, there were people that were saying, man, this is absolute fire. I love this new look. You know, him and Sierra are killing it on, you know, in the Tom Ford show. And then also in the Oscars, he had that man bun look.
He was
and
at the Oscars?
Yes. Very, very mixed reactions from Russell's hair. But hey, it's the off season. Have some fun with it.
What was he doing at the Oscars?
Him and Sierra?
Yeah.
I don't know. Enjoying a good time. I don't know.
They were partying. Do you know a former NFL player won an Oscar?
A former NFL player? That would be
You got it.
I don't know. But it was
Matthew Cherry.
Matthew Cherry, yes. And Andrew Hawkins, I know, was a part of that production as well.
Oh, that's right. We had him on not long ago.
Yeah, yeah, during the football season.
Former Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool moment for them. And, you know, just like, you know, with Kobe Bryant getting into, you know, seeing more former athletes get into, you know, the production side of it and continue to expand their visions and their competitive sides of themselves. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Guys see this Bob Knight thing that happened over the weekend at all? Because being an Indiana alum, it's something that I care about. I don't know. It made national headlines, so it's something that even if you're not, you know, you don't follow the Hoosiers, you may have come across. Did you guys happen to see this at all?
No, I didn't.
Okay, Bob Knight, while I was there in 2000, after about 30 years, three championships, was fired as the Indiana Hoosier head coach because he was put on zero tolerance for just a myriad of reasons. He never, in the ensuing 20 years, he never came back to Assembly Hall. Never. His old teams, his players, begged him for years to come back because they would do reunions of some of their old great teams, you know, but Bob Knight would never show up. Finally, on Saturday, after 20 years, he showed up, and he's clearly not in good health. I think
he looked old.
I think he's got dementia. He's not doing well at all. But the amount of fanfare, goodwill that this seemed to engender, I thought it was a nice moment for him, but it was very much too little too late. Think about this. The second act of Kobe Bryant's life, think about what that was about to be. He was about to go out and accomplish all these wonderful things, and he was going to, you know, be part of his daughter and her college basketball and all these charities, and he was going to do all these great things. Bob Knight chose bitterness. Bob Knight chose to go and pout after he was fired. He could have done so many wonderful things for that community, for that school. He chose not to do any of it. So I guess the lesson here is don't choose bitterness. Don't. Let that type of stuff go. Don't hold grudges for 20 years, because the amount of great things that you can do with your name in your platform, if you're lucky enough to have those kinds of things, I mean, it's infinite. And if you choose not to do any of it because you're petty and you're holding a grudge, it's just flat out sad. We're going to continue next with our previews of Seahawk free agents, guys they should be going after, etc. We're going to start with our profiles next, 710 ESPN Seattle.